Now turn to part four. You will hear a radio interview with Joan Dish, a professional chef. For questions 24 to 30, choose the best answer, A, B or C.
While planning our all-you-can-eat series, we decided to save a place at the table for Joan Dish. Joan Dish became the first famous TV chef. She introduced millions of Americans to French cuisine, and her book, Conquering the Art of French Cooking, rocketed her to a public TV career, which lasted nearly four decades. Hello, Joan. Welcome.
Hello, and thank you for inviting me.
Despite your enormous success as a TV chef and cookbook author, most listeners would be surprised to know that you started cooking relatively late in life. Could you tell us about that?
Well, I grew up in the 1920s when most people had, or at least most middle-class people had maids or had someone to help. And we had very sensible New England type of food because my mother came from New England, you know. Roasts and vegetables and fresh peas and mashed potatoes. But nobody really discussed food a great deal because it just wasn't done. There was no wine served at the table, at least not in my family, who were very conservative. We always ate very well, but it wasn't talked about.
When you graduated from college, you went to New York with the hopes of becoming a novelist or writing for a magazine. Why did you change your plans?
Well, nobody wanted me as a writer. And then along came the war, and I went down to Washington and eventually got into the Office of Strategic Services, or the OSS.
Did you want to be a spy?
I did want to be a spy, and thought I'd be a very good one, because no one would think that someone as tall as I could possibly be a spy. But of course, I ended up doing office, mundane office work. It was in the files the whole time. Actually, though, it was fascinating as an organization to be in, and at least I knew everything that was going on.
Being in the OSS led you overseas. You lived for a while in many different countries, among them France. And food in France is wonderful. Do you remember your first meal there?
Oh, it was just marvelous. It was still the old classical cuisine. It was just delicious. I've never had such good food again as we had then. I remember my first meal there. We had come over on the boat because it was 1948 and plane traffic was not rampant, or it hardly existed. And we had our big blue old Buick on the boat and drove from Havre to Rouen. And I remember my first French meal. It was just delicious. Of course, we had wine, which I had not known much about, and oysters on the half shell. And then a beautiful dish of sole in white wine sauce with mushrooms, and I just couldn't get over it. I hadn't ever had that kind of food. I missed those times of non-carely counting.
Well, how did eating wonderful food lead you to want to start preparing wonderful food?
I was very much impressed with the food, and I just... Having started in cooking after I got married, I thought that I would go to the Cordon Bleu. They had kind of classes for what we called fluffies. Non-serious cooks, usually women. We started at 7 in the morning and finished around 11. And then I would rush home and prepare a fancy lunch for my husband, Paul. In those days, too, the American embassy followed the two-hour lunch, French lunch hour. So we always came home for lunch.
How has cooking changed since the 60s?
In the 60s, you could eat anything you wanted. And of course, people were smoking cigarettes and all kinds of things. And there was no talk about fat and anything like that. And butter and cream were rife. Those were lovely days for gastronomy, I must say. In those days, too, it was classical French cooking. And you didn't deviate from the rules. Then shortly after that, in the 1970s, we got the Nouvelle Cuisine, in which a lot of the old rules were kicked over. And then we had the Cuisine Mansoire, which people mixed with the Nouvelle Cuisine, but it was actually fancy diet cooking. Then we went into the organic phase, where we had bean sprouts and tofu in a large extent. And now we're in a kind of a fried situation where people are very much afraid of fats and oils, and cholesterol has reared in its ugly head.
When you moved back to the States and you wanted to continue French cooking, were there ingredients that you couldn't find in the States?
No. Well, there were some differences. I think the cream was not as thick, but it was easy enough to make your own that they called crème fraîche by adding a little buttermilk or yogurt to heavy cream and making it thick. In those days, cream was very chic. Nowadays, people are afraid of it. But the flour is different. But you could, because the French, general French flour is softer and more made for pastries.
You became nationally famous in the United States for your cooking show. Do you remember any funny anecdotes from back then?
Well, one time I was cooking, blanching some broccoli, and it was in a salad basket, which was lowered into a big kettle of boiling water. And when I picked it up, my fork slipped, and it fell on the floor. I didn't pick it up and use it, so we did stop the show for that moment because it was a real mess. But every time we stopped, it would cost, I mean, several hundred dollars because it always took half an hour to get back again, and you would have to pay overtime.
Thank you so much for talking with us. And just for old time's sake, could you sign us off with your signature goodbye one last time?
Well, good to talk with you. Bye for now and bon appétit.
That is the end of the test.